Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Do remember that this ministry is supported by listeners just like you. Anything you can do to support this ministry prayerfully and financially would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Go right to the phone calls. First up is Vince, listening in Sacramento, California. Hi, Vince.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm Jewish, and I don't believe in the divinity of Yeshua, but I am very much interested in the person. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on the division at the early days of Christianity, particularly among so many competing factions among Christianity, what your thoughts were on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there have always been factions within Christianity, but there's always been such a thing as authentic Christianity, and that is based on the teachings of the Bible, which are clearly in concert one with the other. And so all true Christians follow Jesus Christ. All true Christians believe that He was divine. And they believe that not only because Jesus said it, but the Bible demonstrates it, and the Bible can be demonstrated to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. But the very works of Jesus Christ demonstrated dramatically that He had the power over life. He had the power over nature. In fact, He Himself had the power to lay down His life and take it up again, thus demonstrating that He was God. So the early Jewish leaders believed that Jesus Christ believed that He was the Son of God, and this is one of the reasons they called Him a blasphemer. But Jesus Christ demonstrated again that He was the Son of God by the miracles He did.
I do understand all that. It's just that I just wanted your position on it.
Well, remember that, again, what I'm saying to you in answering the questions is that Christians are united on the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So, as I've said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. And the essential of essentials is the deity of Jesus Christ. Again, we believe it not because we have some kind of a blind faith, but we believe it as a result of faith in evidence.
Oh, I understand that. What I'm just trying to say is that I do believe that there is correct theology. In other words, from a Christian perspective, I have in the past, and I also wanted to thank you and the Christian Research Institute, and particularly Walter Martin, that I had begun studying from a purely academic and objective point of view Mormonism, and I was really astonished at some of the things that they believed and how inconsistent it was with original Christian teachings.
Sure, and Mormonism has nothing to do with Christianity, in fact.
Well, that's something that I never understood, is because I have always thought of most Mormon people to be, you know, good Christian people, but I found that they really, you know, aren't from an Orthodox Christian perspective. So I really want to thank all of you for all the information that you have provided. And in addition to the good scholarship that you presented in terms of really making that understandable to me.
Well, you're most welcome, and I appreciate you calling.
Okay, well, thank you, sir, and you have a good day, and may Yeshua, or may Yahweh in particular, bless you.
Thank you, and you as well. And, of course, the blessing that ultimately comes to all of us is recognizing that Yahweh, the God of Israel, was revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. One of the things I did to underscore this is develop a resource called Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy. If you get into this book, what you realize immediately is that only one can emerge through the doorway of the Old Testament prophecies, which is to say the ancestry of Jesus Christ was made plain before Jesus Christ was ever born. He had to be of a particular lineage or he would be disqualified. His birthplace was established. It was not just any Bethlehem. It was Bethlehem Ephratah. The manner of his death clearly communicated the date of his visitation within historically narrow time parameters. The fact that he did not come to be simply a parochial Jewish Messiah, but rather that his light would go out to the Gentiles so that the gospel would go to the far ends of the world and that he would fulfill all the law and the prophets. As Jesus himself said, I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill them. So the hope that we have is that Jesus Christ is the one who did what we could never do. He lived the perfect life, which we cannot live. And therefore, if we find ourselves in him, we find ourselves able to go into the presence of Yahweh, the God of Israel, and say, Abba, Father, because Jesus, who is God in human flesh, is the mediator by which we might have not only eternal life, but might live in the present, life that is life to the full. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Marco, who is listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Marco.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the efforts that you're doing for the kingdom.
Thank you.
I guess my question stems from a lot of the so-called Christian-based, somewhat fictional movies that are out in regards to this concept about dying and then coming back. And my question is, if it's appointed once for a man to die, how do we explain John 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead? I'll just hang up and then I'll listen to your response.
Sure. And just to fill in the gaps, my book Afterlife deals with this whole idea of near-death experiences. This is not actual death experiences, but almost death experiences. Now, Lazarus was a different case. Very, very clear that Lazarus had died, and he was already dead for a long time when Jesus Christ raised him from the dead. But the principle still applies. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Though Lazarus is an anomaly, as miracles are, they're not normative. If they were normative, we wouldn't call them miracles. The general principle for all of humanity is that we will die and we will be resurrected at the end of the age. By the way, Lazarus himself will be resurrected at the end of the age. As Jesus said, do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dennis. He's listening in Manhattan, Kansas. Hi.
Hey there, Hank. I had a question on Leviticus 23, where it talks about the seven feasts of the Lord. And then they're supposed to be forever, those feasts. And I think it was around the 3rd or 4th century when a lot of the church stop the feasts in that. Why today does the modern church ignore the feasts and instead follows the other practices that we picked up, you know, tapped into, you know, and I don't want to get into all the pagan part of the holidays and how we've Christianized them or whatever, but I'm just wondering why the feasts are ignored and they're supposed to be remembered forever.
Well, first of all, they are remembered forever by all Christians. All Christians adhere to the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which includes the Old as well as the New Testament. And so it's not a matter of whether we remember them forever. It's a matter of whether we recognize that there is a type and there is an antitype, and the antitype fulfills the type and the shadow. And thus, when the substance has come, to go back to the shadow is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Of course, no problem whatsoever with remembering feast days. The problem is forgetting that Jesus Christ is the substance that fulfills the types and the shadows that came before him. We're coming to station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And remember that the information that I talk about on the show, you can find on the web at equip.org.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Scott, who's listening in Tennessee on the web. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Hank. First of all, I just want to say that I love you. I think you are a treasure of Christianity, and your ministry is great. I've listened to you for about 20 years now. I do have a question for you about Oneness Pentecostalism. I know that we do divide over some essentials. I believe the Trinity is an essential. But let's say someone is on their deathbed or they come to know Jesus and they decide they want to follow him, but perhaps they don't understand and or reject the idea of a Trinity. Is that a salvation issue?
Well, I don't think it's the absence of truth that damns, but it most certainly is the despising of truth that damns. And if you look at Oneness Pentecostals, they believe that if you hold to the Trinity, then you hold to pagan polytheistic theology. In fact, they are very much tied to keeping certain works in play, including being able to speak in tongues, which has placed tremendous socio-psychological pressure on adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues, because those who do not speak in tongues are thought to be lacking in faith or even to be entirely unrepentant. So the Oneness Pentecostals themselves have separated their theology from the rest of Christianity, and that's why the Assemblies of God, the principal Pentecostal denomination in the world, called them heretical from the outset.
Okay. So if someone believes in Jesus and they just don't get Trinity yet, that's not an issue. But if they have had the Trinity revealed to them and they reject it, that is an issue.
Yeah, I think what we want to do is be followers of the one God who has revealed himself in Scripture. And as you follow that one God, you learn more and more about him. And none of us exhaust that. I only apprehend certain things about God. And for the rest of eternity, I will be learning things about God. So this is not about having exhaustive knowledge, but it is not proper to despise the knowledge that we're given. So if the Bible's very, very clear about one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct, while we can't comprehend that, when we apprehend that, if we despise it, then we're despising the true God who has revealed himself.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Hank.
You got to thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines. Talk to Lewis, who's listening in Jersey City, New Jersey. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Thank you for all you've been doing. 2 days ago, I got into a conversation with someone in my class. It was a principles of biology class at college, and we got into a discussion regarding, through a game actually, Fallout 4, into absolute truths. And he kept on, it seems he was giving a skeptic's answer, and I wanted to ask you how to stop someone going to loops of saying, I don't know, and to actually trying to talk to them about absolute truths.
That's a very essential issue, isn't it? Because today, truth is no longer regarded as absolute. It becomes relativized. And if that is true, truth is now determined by the size and the scope of the latest lobby group. And with no enduring reference point, societal norms are quickly reduced to mere matters of preference. And this is the issue that Christianity is harping on, the fact that there is a North Star, there is a lawgiver, and that lawgiver is also our designer. And to violate his commands, his truth, is kind of like trying to violate the law of gravity by standing on the Eiffel Tower and jumping and saying, I am dismissing for the next 30 seconds the law of gravity. Well, the only thing you're really dismissing is your own life. When you make truth a casualty in a culture, you end up with chaos. And that is precisely what is happening today. And with respect to Christianity, it is not true because it works. That's pragmatism. It's not true because it feels right. That's subjectivism. It's not true because it's my truth. That becomes relativism. Truth is true because it's anchored in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is God, who is the North Star, who has set parameters around our lives so that our joy might be complete. So Christ is never a cosmic killjoy because he ushers in truth. He's one who allows us to experience life as it is intended to be experienced.
What type of approach should I give him? Because I'm pretty sure he might approach me today. How should I approach him and actually most likely get him to at least kind of choke and admit it, or, you know, catch him in the middle of his inconsistency? Because honestly, I think he was actually avoiding on purpose to actually confess that he's wrong.
Yeah, well, truth is anything that corresponds to reality. I think that needs to be pointed out, and therefore truth does not yield, as I said, to the size of the latest lobby group, nor is truth a mere matter of preference or opinion. Rather, truth is true even if everyone denies it, and a lie is a lie even if everyone affirms it. And you can point that out in a lot of common sense ways. 2 + 2 = 4. That's truth. If you say 2 + 2 = 5, or whatever you feel it equals, then you have chaos in mathematics, and that is the exact same thing that happens in culture. If you get rid of enduring truths, you cannot even live life in an acceptable fashion. If you say it's too narrow for a pilot to land his airplane on an airstrip that's designated, say, just land it wherever you want. Well, I mean, obviously you have chaos, and this is how we're trying to play fast and loose with truth in the culture. It is devastating to our own lives, but it's also devastating to civilization. If we make marriage a matter of preference as opposed to adhering to some absolute truth that has guided civilizations, we end up with chaos. And chaos for the most vulnerable among us. I mean, think about kids. We know sociologically, not spiritually alone, but sociologically, that kids are best served by gender-differentiated parenting. So you eliminate that, you put kids in harm's way. And so we have to take seriously truth. And where do you get truth? Well, we can establish the Bible as being an objective frame of reference. How? Because you can test it, just like you can test a scientific paradigm. You can test it to see if it holds up under scrutiny. Now, in the case of the Bible, you look at historical evidences. You look at the manuscript evidence. You look at archaeology. Do the people, the places, and the persons correspond to reality? You look at prophecies made in the Bible and see if they were fulfilled as prophesied. Biblical prophecies have their fulfillment in Scripture. So, for example, you can look at Daniel, who is prophesying 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ and gives an unfolding of nations. Well, did it happen as he prophesied or didn't it? He wasn't writing in the 2nd century. He was written and writing in the 6th century.
And yet he's telling us about exactly what would take place prophetically in the second century. So now we have a way of figuring out, did it happen as he said, or did it not? So you can test the Bible to see if it is an objective framework of reference that we can adhere to with confidence. You got the same issue with the Quran. Does the Quran correspond to reality? Is it a safe haven for truth? And what you find when you look at it critically is that it is replete with not only factual errors, but replete with faulty ethics. You don't find that in Scripture. So truth makes all the difference in the world. Of course, what is truth? The very question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus. In the irony of the ages, he was standing toe to toe with the personification of truth, and yet he missed its reality. And I think postmodern people are in much the same position. They stare at truth, but they fail to recognize its identity. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We do what we do because life and truth really do matter.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.